Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and today we welcome some new listeners to this program. As of today, in addition to WNYC, we are now also being heard on 4 New Jersey public radio frequencies. So welcome if you are listening to any of those stations in the Trenton-Princeton area, the Toms River area, Netcong, or Sussex. If you've never heard us before, hi. We do lots of New Jersey coverage already since our WNYC signal can already be heard by so many New Jerseyans, and we're glad that more of you can now join the conversation if you're listening on WNJT, WNJP, WNJY, or WNJO. Welcome to all of you. And with us now are Nancy Solomon, managing editor of the New Jersey News Service, being launched by WNYC and other news organizations, and intrepid reporter Bob Henley, also known as Bob from Mendo. Hi, guys.
Hi.
And I'll also mention for you New Jersey public radio listeners especially that the senior producer of this show, Megan Ryan, though a Brooklynite in recent years, grew up in Metuchen. Her parents have since retired to Point Pleasant, to which we say on a day like this,
get the hell off the beach.
So, or not. It's kind of beautiful there on a day like this. Just don't try to surf it, Mr. and Mrs. Ryan. So, Nancy, this is the time of year for the whirlwind 24 hours at the end of the legislative session, and then on to the State of the State address. And we expect all kinds of battles coming up this year having to do with teacher tenure and other things. But let's look at what just did happen. Lots of bills passed and horses traded in that end of session marathon.
Yeah, and it would have been a marathon and a blizzard of bills no matter what on in any two-year period. But then we had the death of the leading Republican who dropped dead in the bathroom across from the assembly chambers right as the last votes were being taken. So that really, for 24 hours, really threw everything into a mess. The state of the state was delayed. But it came after they passed a blizzard of bills, as you said. For-profit companies will now be able to build and operate schools in the 3 largest and poorest cities in New Jersey. Parents will have to take a class before their teenager can get a driver's license. Gamblers can place off-track bets in bars. Clean water restrictions were loosened so builders can get permits and build more readily, something that the environmentalists fought tooth and nail and lost. And the EPA even disagreed with the Christie administration, but that went through. Lovers can get hitched Las Vegas style by going to Atlantic City and not getting an immediate instant marriage license.
Huh.
And there's going to be some logging on public lands, and school budgets now go to voters on Election Day in November instead of a special election in the spring.
So, Bob Henley, that's a lot. I'm guessing that the most contentious out of all of those was the ability for private companies to start operating public schools?
It's kind of, I would say, actually, the environmental one may be more contentious in the sense that, and also it's important to keep in mind that the governor has until Tuesday, ironically, when he's going to do the State of the State address, to actually sign these bills. This was the end, as Nancy said, of the 2-year cycle. So when you turn over a year that's a non-session change, there's hope for bills that get signed. The governor can send back a conditional veto. But this time, it's a blue light special. It's all got to move. So if the governor doesn't sign it, then it doesn't become law. And this environmental one is got some I think there'll be litigation. It's a situation where environmentalists contend that the state's pushing ahead to make sprawl development easier right at a time when it's having real water management problems. I mean, one thing we saw out of Irene and some of these other atypical storms is the state's inability to handle water that comes from the increasing impervious surfaces when we pave everything over. Like as I've said before, when you fill in swamps, you can't be surprised when your basement
listeners
floods.
State of the state, according to you, and we will do this for a much longer time next week when the governor does give his actual State of the State address. It was intended to be this past Tuesday, as Nancy was saying, but because the death of DeCrosse, it has been postponed by the governor for 1 week. So we're going to keep this shorter than we originally were going to and do it longer next week. But listeners, if you're listening on the New Jersey public radio stations or anyone else, 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. What do you want to say about these bills or the battles that are coming up? 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. And I'm looking at the headline of the local section of the Wall Street Journal on Monday, big across the whole top of the page, so what they call banner headline, Christie pledges school aid battle. New Jersey governor seeks to remake Supreme Court in effort to change education funding for poor and urban districts. So this is some way to get at a school aid battle going through the New Jersey Supreme Court. Nancy, what's that about?
Okay, so for many years, we've had what's called the Abbott decision, which most New Jerseyans know about and probably nobody else. And that is the decision that said you can't just raise money locally and fund your school to the extent you want. You have to cap funds in the wealthier districts and not allow them to outspend less wealthy districts. And money goes back to the state from property taxes and gets fed back out to urban areas, the cities of New Jersey that were underfunded. So that's called the Abbott decision. And the state has gone back and back and back to try to change that decision. The Education Law Center in Newark has fought it for years. They refight it. And so basically what Christie's saying is, okay, I keep losing this legal battle. I'll change the Supreme Court to fight you that way.
Pack the court with conservative justices who will smile more on inequality in public education funding.
Well, there's a challenge. One thing I wanted to say is that during the Carson administration, there was some fine-tuning of this, which the court permitted. Governor Corzine had an idea of trying to have – because, of course, kids that need help and are having trouble and falling behind aren't exclusively in urban areas. So Corzine did manage, with the support of the court, to direct money to kids who were in need, irrespective of whether or not they were in the Abbott district. That said, Governor Christie kind of ran against this thing. This has been a feeling on the part of suburban districts and rural districts that billions of dollars have been spent on these Abbott districts, and the line the governor always uses in his town hall meetings is there's some 200 schools with 100,000 kids in urban areas where the schools are failing these kids, and so there's a feeling that money alone is not getting the job done. Meanwhile, there are signs in many ex-urban and rural areas that they're not getting the sufficient state funding they need. And it really comes back to the bottom of this is the fact that there's such a gross inequity when you rely on property tax. I mean, and the other thing to keep in mind is that across the state, property values are dropping. So we're really in a tough period of time where tax revenues are off and the fighting over what is coming in is getting more intense.
Joe in East Orange, you're on WNYC. Hello, Joe.
Oh, hi. How are y'all doing? I just wanted to know if you're familiar with, if you could tell me if any of the legislation dealing with homeschooling was passed, and I'll take my answer off the air.
Thank you very much.
I didn't see anything come across on that.
No, it wasn't highlighted. That doesn't mean it wasn't in there. I mean, there are literally scores of pieces of legislation.
And at the end of the session like that, at any state legislature's end of the session, things emerge into the public's eye and the media's eye, sometimes days and weeks after it actually all ends, that have to actually be, almost accidentally come upon sometime in some minutes of some, regulatory document that comes out later.
Well, it's funny, she said there's also arrangements. It was reported in the Star-Ledger that to get Attorney General Chiesa in, who's going to take over for Attorney General Paul Dow, who's going temporarily to the Port Authority, there was some horse trading with Sweeney, Senate President Sweeney, to make it easier for the wine merchants in New Jersey to sell their wares. So it takes a while to get into the minutiae of this, but often that's how the sausage is made.
So is this what you expect to hear in the State of the State on Tuesday and expect to be front and center in New Jersey again for 20 years, Christie versus the teachers union? Because, it also seems like high on his agenda are bills that address teacher tenure and merit pay.
Yeah, I think we're expecting to hear two things from him. One is he's going to continue to hit hard on education, the way it's funded, teacher tenure, and more charter schools. But then, you know, he's been talking for months now about his, you know, wanting local public employees to not get their sick pay. They get a payout at the end instead of having to just, you know, use up what they use and then give the rest back. So he's been hammering on that. And, you know, so clearly, you know, he has continued, because he gets a lot of bang out of this publicly, he's continued to go after public employees and who are both teachers and, you know, local folks, the guys who collect the garbage, and sort of blame them for the state's fiscal problems.
The other thing that will happen, though, there will be a kind of salutary reference to the considerable bipartisan accomplishments. Because remember, Governor Christie can't get any points on the board because it's a democratically controlled legislature. So he will give positive reinforcement, the carrot approach, to Senate President Sweeney, Speaker Oliver, who have been allies of his on significant issues like a 2% property tax cap for local property taxes. We just got some solid reporting from the Star Ledger that indicates it may be the lowest increase. It's maybe actually working in terms of in 20 years. And also the pension reform for public employees, which was quite controversial. So Christie really has a challenge here. On one hand, he needs to continue to build that national brand by being the tough character, which and at the same time, pirouette, which is, can be tough for a large man, as I know, to try to be also bipartisan to get things done in Trenton. This is all happening while there's an increasing partisan battle for the presidency, which he's playing a role in.
I know you used to be a dancer once upon a time. I don't want to think about Chris Christie pirouetting. However, I think Senator Sweeney is pirouetting by getting ready, I understand, to use marriage equality, legal gay marriage, as a wedge issue against the governor. And a bargaining chip, would you on some of these education reforms?
No, I think that they look at what happened with Governor Cuomo across the river. And there is a sense that the time has come in New Jersey with the Democratic caucus in this. And they also look at it, quite frankly, Majority Leader Loretta Weinberg said it's an economic development tool in a state that's really stalled. They see what's happening in places where states have signed on for this, and they see the economic boom that happens. And it's something that I don't think I can actually – I know politicians can do things for many reasons, sometimes because they think it's the right thing, and it also happens to be good politics heading into 2012, which will cast a strong contrast between Christie and the Democrats.
But, Nancy, do you see this intersecting with other issues or just being out there on its own, the way Bob was saying?
It certainly kind of begs the issue of whether we're going to have Las Vegas-style gay weddings in Atlantic City. But I think it's an attempt by the Democrats to take back the reins of the discussion. Christie has dominated the whole framework for what we talk about politically in New Jersey the last 2 years. And on the last day of the session, they didn't wait till Tuesday. On Monday, before they had finished their work of 2 years, they came at him and said, "We're going to shove gay marriage right down your throat, and you're going to have to veto it."
One more call before we go on to our next topic, which is going to be, does airline travel have to keep getting worse and worse for the passengers? But Cheryl in Asbury Park, you're on WNYC. Hi, Cheryl.
Oh, hi, everybody. I was just wondering what your opinion is of that little comment that our illustrious governor made in New Hampshire during the Mitt Romney rally, calling that woman sweetheart, after he said that that's not the only thing going down tonight. And I'm a little offended.
And we do take soundbite requests. So for people who haven't heard it.
You know, something may go down tonight, but it ain't going to be jobs, sweetheart.
You didn't like that, Cheryl.
I am so proud of my governor.
Bob, what broke out as a controversy was whether he was making a sexual reference by using the phrase go down.
I think someone should call him and ask him. I think that's what's missing here. I think that in a press conference, someone should ask him and make him accountable for that. And I think that journalism that doesn't do that is just riffing off the internet. That's what I think.
But what about whether or not that was what he meant by go down here tonight as opposed to just happen here tonight?
I'm not a psychoanalyst.
He did call a woman in the audience dismissively and hustily sweetheart.
Condescending, sure.
And I've been a little at a loss to understand what that means otherwise. Something else is going down tonight. Like, what
is he
talking about?
But it's not jobs. So, I mean, I think that what's instructive here is that when Romney followed up the next day without his enforcer with him in public, What goes on, what Christy went on to talk about later on, was the idea that somehow Romney represents hope and Obama represents envy, and the idea that Romney is a paragon of capitalism as we know it. And we saw Romney, without the sweetheart and without the other reference, actually totally picking up on that riff and going at the protesters, which is a total change in aspect for him.
Well, and what you have, I mean, we've seen this for the 2 years. What you have is that Christie is like a moth to the flame. I mean, he flutters very close to that light bulb or the flame, and he says stuff that is outlandish, and people love it. They love it.
Well, he gets
but
in trouble
at some
too.
Point, yeah, but at some point, he's going to get himself, I think, in a lot. You know, this one came awful close, and I think at some point, he's going to get a little burned.
Nancy Solomon, Bob Henley, thanks a lot.
Thanks.
And again, welcome to our new listeners on the New Jersey Public Radio stations carrying the show as of today. Coming next, does flying out of Newark or anywhere else need to be such a horrific experience? Stay tuned.